from verse 15 down to verse 20 as we talk about the incomparable Christ. And without further ado, we want to dismiss the children to kids' church. Thank you, Linda, for that reminder. All right, guys. Colossians chapter 1. We'll read verses 15 through 20. Our message is entitled The Incomparable Christ, or Why the Resurrection Matters. Why does it matter to you? Why does it matter to me? Beginning there in verse 15, we'll read, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. The word of the Lord. And one powerful, in fact, the most comprehensive passage of the Bible regarding Christ, His ultimate power, and His ultimate involvement, not only in salvation, but in creation. And so we give Him praise. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we need reminded that what's taking place this morning is a spiritual exercise. It's an exercise of not only Your grace and kindness toward us. As we look around and we see Your creation, we see Your fingerprints all over the place. But we also see brothers and sisters who have been touched by the love of Jesus and by His great sacrifice for us. And so, Lord, this is an exercise of faith in You. And so we trust right now that You will bring those invisible realities of Christ at Your right hand, of this wonderful Holy Spirit and the influence that He exercises over our hearts when we read the Word. Lord, that You would bring this truth to our minds once again, that we'll be built up in faith and hope and love. And Lord, if there's one here today that's really never had that opportunity to trust in You, to invite You into their life, to receive the forgiveness of sin, Lord, we pray for that person today. And that when all is said and done, we would all sense and feel your presence, and that we would be lifted up spiritually by your presence. Now help us as we try to communicate, Lord, your word, and that we receive your word into our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We read it there in verse 18. Those five words just leapt off the page and hit me right between the eyes a while ago, where it says, the firstborn from the dead. And all of those pronouns here, where it says he and it says him, he is the image, by him all things were created. He is before all things. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead. All of those pronouns refer to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that's really our focus this morning. He is the subject of our conversation this morning and of our study this morning, our preaching. Jesus Christ and his resurrection and why it matters and why it should matter to each one of us in this place. Point number one, the resurrection of Jesus Christ matters because his resurrection affects our standing with God. His resurrection affects our standing with God. I want to talk about the ransom. So, there's been, I'm sure you've read about these situations before where somebody's kidnapped or held hostage, right? And usually it's someone from a wealthy family that has the means to pay a ransom for the release of the captive. If you were around back in 1973, I was just a 13-year-old, but I paid attention to some news, mostly the sports page. But I heard about this. A young man named J. Paul Getty was kidnapped over in Italy, and he was held for ransom. There were several captors, and they communicated to the Getty family. The grandfather of this J. Paul Getty III was an oil tycoon. He had lots of money. And they communicated to him that they wanted some, I think it was like $17 million. I mean, it's a lot of money. It's like equivalent to $94 million in today's way of looking at those things. And his grandfather wasn't real. In fact, nobody really believed what was going on, because this grandson talked about staging a kidnapping so he could extract some of his grandfather's money. So when he went missing, the family really didn't care. They thought it was all an act to put on a show. The first communication came, they wanted that money, and they just kind of blew it off. Second communication came, and it was a little more serious. There was a lock of red hair and an ear in that letter demanding payment. Oh, that made it a little more serious. So finally, the grandfather agreed, negotiating with the captors for, I think it was $2.2 million that he would pay. And that was because that was as much as you could pay and it be tax deductible. Okay? And then he said the total was $2.9 million, and the rest of it he was going to loan to his son at 4% interest. That tells you the kind of people they were dealing with. Well, long story short, the captors got the money, the ransom was paid, And J. Paul Getty III was released. Then they picked him up at a gas station somewhere in Italy. Here's the point. For a ransom, for the thought of a ransom, there has to be the thought that it's required in order to secure the release of somebody or a group of individuals. There has to be a ransom. There has to be something paid. And then that something paid has to be what? It has to be accepted. It has to be received. And that's really what Christ has done for us on a much greater scale. Here's the point. All human beings are in bondage to sin. In fact, it goes deeper than that. Paul says that in our lostness and darkness and blindness to the spiritual truth and the reality of Christ, he says that we're under the control of the principalities and powers, and we're walking according to this world, and we're like walking zombies. We're just in bondage to death. And we'll continue that way. We'll continue to be captive until the truth sets us free. We'll continue to be in bondage to self and sin and the devil and hell until a ransom is paid. In Mark chapter 10, in verse 45, Jesus says this. He says, "I did not come to be served. I have come to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." Jesus came to pay the ransom so that you and I could go free. What was that ransom? What would you think all the souls, all the human souls that have ever lived, what would they be worth? Well, in yesterday's currency or today's currency, there's only one amount. There's only one ransom that could ever be paid that could release or free the captives. And that is the life of Jesus. His very blood shed for us on the cross is the ransom required to secure the release of all those in bondage to sin, death, the devil, and hell. And Christ has paid that ransom. Now listen, let's just bring it on a little bit narrower and make it for you. Christ paid the ransom for you so that you could be free, so that you could be forgiven. He did not come to the world to judge the world. Christ did not come from heaven to earth, born in a manger, growing up to judge and condemn and to send everyone to hell. That's not why he was here. He said, "I did not come to judge. I did not come to condemn. I have come that you might have life, spiritual life, and have it more abundantly." That is the rationale for him coming. Now listen, it doesn't stop there, because remember, we said the ransom has to be received. Christ was crucified on a Friday. And I'm sure the devil and his minions and all the unbelievers, the Jews as well as the Gentiles who were given to idolatry, they're all rejoicing. This troublemaker, this rabble-rouser, he's gone for good. Jesus laid in a tomb Saturday and Sunday. The disciples go. The women were first. I thought we'd get a better response from the ladies, man. I did. I really thought that. The women were first. And Jesus spoke to them. And he sent them on their way. But that empty tomb, listen, here's the importance of the resurrection. Here's why it matters. That empty tomb tells you and tells me that the ransom Christ paid at the cross in his own blood has been received by the Father. And without the empty tomb, we have no assurance that that ransom payment was received. And if that tomb is still occupied, there is no forgiveness. There is no hope. There is not this. This is not happening. But at last, the tomb is empty. Christ is risen. And he has been received by the Father. Over in Isaiah, we read that the Father was pleased to crush his Son on the cross. And that makes no sense until you think about the fact that the Father wants to save us. And so I have to think this morning that if the Father was pleased to crush him, the Father must have been doubly pleased to raise him. And in raising him, he has showed us that he has received the ransom. The ransom payment is accepted. And I have to think, since the Father was pleased to crush his Son, and that the Father was doubly pleased to raise him, and that the Father was really joyous and happy to receive Christ back at his right hand, I have to believe this morning with all my heart. And it's at this point that we go from preaching to pleading, that it would be the Father's pleasure, having crushed his Son and having raised his Son and having received back his Son, that it would be the Father's pleasure to save all who call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today I'm asking you, friend, to drive a stake in the ground this day, this April 1st, 2018. My faith in Christ came alive. I was born again. I became a new creation in Christ simply by trusting in the death of Jesus on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, and that based on his work, I can now be forgiven of my sin. What do I have to do, Bill? Simply believe with all your heart that Jesus is alive, and you shall be saved. And I plead with you, if you've never made that commitment, that trust, came to faith in Christ in that way, do it today. Just dogmatically whisper that prayer and set your heart on the risen Lord, and he will save you. I can assure you, he wants to save you more than you want to be saved. So if there's a glimmer of faith, trust Jesus. Do it today. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed. Don't wait till you're in the nursing home. Don't wait till your mind starts slipping. Don't wait till tragedy strikes. Do it today. Now's the time. Today's the day. Don't wait. Because we are not promised tomorrow. Oh, in our conceit, we think we have plenty of time. Even some of us older people think we have plenty of time. But you know what? Life is a vapor. Today, make it right. Today, focus on Jesus. Today, make him the center of your universe. He will save you. He will lead you. And he will bring you safely through whatever you're going through. Trust him in good times and trust him in hard times. But whatever you do, trust him. And trust him now. Secondly, why does the resurrection matter? The resurrection matters because of the resurrection, we have the opportunity to grow here on planet Earth. We have a purpose here on planet Earth. What's the Lord done? It's simple. Simple as this. Jesus Christ leveled the playing field for us. What's that mean? Okay, when he rose from the dead, first of all, he triumphed over something that there's a lot of people afraid of. What's that? Death. Jesus Christ is the only one who has ever been victorious over death. There's been a lot of famous people, a lot of so-called powerful people, emperors, military leaders, so on and so forth. Their graves, wherever their graves are, whether they be at the bottom of the ocean or whether they be on some deserted island or some plain somewhere, the grave's still occupied. But the grave of our risen Lord is empty. And no one has ever produced a dead body. So what did he do? He triumphed over death. He triumphed over sin. He triumphed over hell. He triumphed over all of that. All of our opposition has been defeated. Now that's good news. If our opposition is not defeated, then we're really going to struggle. Some of us are going to struggle anyway, but Christ has leveled the playing field. The only difficulties that can come in your life right now, and this is hard because you know what? We have difficulties. We don't gloss over them. And we just can't make some positive confession and those things go away. They are there. But I can assure you, the risen Lord will be with you in your difficulty, in your grief and pain and sorrow. He is there. The devil no longer has dominion over us. Sin no longer has dominion over us. Self. Paul says, I die daily. Some of us know what I mean when I say we have met the enemy and he is us. Christ be with us. He will accompany you. He will be with you. He has defeated our foes. You say, well, I still see evidence of sin. I see evidence of the devil. Yep, that's right. I'm aware of the fact that when World War II ended, there were still skirmishes on Okinawa and other places. It takes a while for the word to get out. And what we see here that is evidence of sin still lingering, the devil's plan, we sometimes think he's getting a foothold. The fact of the matter is, those are just minor skirmishes. The devil's fighting because his days are numbered. He's unleashing all kinds of venom and evil because his days are numbered. I read Revelation 20, verse 10, and the Bible says that the Lord God Almighty one day will take that old dragon by the tail and he will whirl him around and he will throw him into the lake of fire, and there for all time the enemy will be. And he will also throw death in that lake of fire and sin. He's leveled the playing field, and you and I have an opportunity to grow. We have an opportunity to pursue God's purpose for us in this life. Don't think for a minute there's not a purpose for you. Don't think for a minute that God's just left us here to our own devices. But there is a definite call, a definite plan, and Christ has a definite purpose for us in this life. If you turn over just to Colossians 2 and verse 15, this is a beautiful verse of victory. Yes, it's possible to live in victory now. The Bible says when he, and that he is Jesus, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he's talking about those spiritual powers, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him. Wow. He's talking about the cross, and He's talking about the power of Jesus in overthrowing His adversaries. When you came in this morning, you saw a banner out here in this foyer. Why do you seek the dead among the living? You see a banner right here. The victors love the banners. And what this verse talks about is something that we see. We see in our own culture. What happens when the Cubs win the World Series? Well, first of all, everybody's in shock, right? We're just in total shock. What happens when the football team wins the Super Bowl? Well, they win and they hoist the trophy. But not too long after that, what are they doing? They're marching down Main Street in a huge procession. That's what this verse is talking about. This verse is talking about a huge spiritual procession of faith. And our conquering King is in that procession. And there are banners flying. And there is confetti falling in victory. And we see people part of that procession. Abraham. And, well, we can go back further. Adam and Abel and Abraham and Joshua and David and Samuel and on and on and on it goes. We see the apostles in that procession. We see all the believers from all time in that procession. But make no mistake about it, the one who gets the attention is the one who has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. So today, call upon the name of the Lord. Be part of that great procession of faith. He will not let you down. He will not disappoint you. He will bring you safely through this life and on to heaven. And one day we will reign in heaven with Him for all eternity. I love these emblems, these banners of victory. This cross is a symbol of death. And a lot of people without eyes to see it as a means of execution, as a something that would defeat anybody and had defeated anybody who ever hung on it except one. And that's why the purple is there. The purple is there to remind us that this is an instrument, not a defeat. This is an instrument for the Christian. It is an instrument of victory and of triumph. And that's why we cling to the old rugged cross. And that's why this cross will be there. And we will not substitute the cross for a globe or dove. We will cling to the old rugged cross because it is our means of victory. And it reminds us of the victory we have and the victory we'll experience one day. And then there's one more thing. The resurrection matters. How can we say this? The Lord gives us things to do. I mean, we have the opportunity for victory. How does that happen? Well, we're made of dust. And Paul said we have a treasure in earthen vessels. So these vessels are what? They're fading. They're fading fast, right? But here's what I want to say. The resurrection means that you and I have resources. We have resources. We have something beyond ourselves that we can depend on in this life. So what does it mean? It means this. First, the first point I'd like to make as we wind down is that we have access. The word is access. And this means that you and I are not, we're not here trying to work everything out in our own strength. But Christ not only leveled the playing field by defeating our foes, but He has given us resources. And the first word that comes to mind is access. And it goes both ways. Number one, Christ died, rose again, and ascended. So He made a way for us to heaven. He cleared the path. And that means that you and I can call on Jesus in prayer anytime, and He hears us. Yes. He hears us. And so all you have to know to have a good life of prayer is that God exists. Jesus made a path, and he gladly intervenes in our circumstances
and in our hearts especially. He does that. And if you believe those things with all your heart, you'll never have a hard time praying. You never will.
God's alive and God's ready to work. God's ready to move. Who else do we need to pray for? God's alive. God's at work. God's ready to move. He hears our prayers. But also, not only do we have access to heaven because Jesus came down, I love this. He has access to us. He was received back in heaven, but what does he do? He pours forth the Holy Spirit into our hearts. He has access to our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, I won't leave you as orphans. I'll come again. And what he meant by that is, I will pour out the Holy Spirit, this invisible reality, the third person of the Trinity, part of the Godhead, he pours forth into our hearts. And this motivates us. This Holy Spirit is a great resource in our hearts. He comforts us. How many of you have ever felt the comfort of the Holy Spirit? We have access. We have access to God through Jesus Christ, and we can make our petitions and our requests known to him. And he most definitely has access into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Access. That's our Lord. Resources. The second word is ability. Ability. Say, Brother Hill, there's a lot going on. I got a lot going. I just don't know if I can get it right. I don't know if I can live the right way. He gives us the ability to do that. I think it's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We either believe that or we don't. There's only one way that we can do that. The only way that we can bear pressure in our life and stress in our life is by the strength that God supplies through his Spirit. We have resources. It's good news. If the tomb's still occupied, there's no resources. But the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty this morning. And we give God praise for that. We want to sing one more hymn. It's a happy song of the resurrection of our living Lord. And following the hymn, we'll have a blessing and then the postlude. But I want to encourage you today, if you need prayer or you want to make a public profession of your faith in Christ, you're believing for the first time, feel free to come forward. But whatever you do, let's lift our voices to him in praise. DJ.